This podcast is produced by KPP Financial. Steve Peasley, President. KPP Financial. Independent thinking, shared success. And now today's podcast.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to the October 5th edition of Invest Talk, Above Average Investing for the Average Investor. Now, we get together every day, every weekday at least, to sort out the issues that maybe impact your retirement, your savings, your investments. It's what we do every day, answer questions about that and talk about things or events that will cause us pain or pleasure. Our topics are wide-ranging, and you guys can call anything about anything financial. How to start a 529 program. What is a 529 program? Short selling. What is short selling? Taxes, auto purchases, insurance purchases, real estate purchases. So we're open to any money matter that's on your mind. It's about strategies. Knowing the ins and outs of both these types of savings vehicles can help you make the right choice for your retirement. When to switch from a Roth IRA to a traditional 401k or a traditional IRA. That's our main talking point today. First, let's go to the phones, as we always try to do, try to get to them fast as we can and answering your questions. The number is 888-99-CHART.
Hey, this is Will from Atlanta. I had some friends asking about investing in me, or me investing for them in a way. But they're also pretty interested in investing and learning about it. So I was wondering what the options are as far as do you make an investment club or an investment fund and how exactly that works. I'd read about some under 100 member rules and under certain amount of money rules, but I was wondering if you had any input on that. Appreciate your time. Thanks.
Okay, let's talk about, you can be an investment advisor. You can be an advisor for somebody without any license. You don't have to become a registered investment advisor. You don't have to register. You don't have to do anything. But you can manage. You can only manage under $25 million or less. So you can be somebody else's money manager if you want to. You can also start an investment club in which you and a bunch of other people put money in every month. And then you set it up as a club and you decide what you're going to buy. What you're going to buy, when you're going to, what you're going to sell, and then you meet once a month or however, whatever schedule you want to set up to set up a club. And there's you can find how to do it on the internet. It's not hard. It's fairly simple actually. So there's a lot of ways you can do that and get together with friends, or if you want to start your own little business, you can do it. It's fairly simple. As soon as you get above $25 million of managing money under management, though, then you have to become a registered investment advisor, which is not, an impossible task. Good question. These are some of the stories on our carousel, and we talk about it. The carousel at investtalk.com. I think I lost something here. Never fails. Hold on. Just bear with me just a minute. technology is wonderful, but sometimes it's very frustrating. Hold on. I'm not seeing the screen, guys. This, your screen. Says I'm online, but I don't see it. Yeah, send it. 888-99-CHART, everybody. 888-992-4278. The market was up today. The Dow was up 114 points. The Nasdaq was up 51. The S&P was up 14. So it was a pretty good day. Can't complain. Let's go ahead and go to a voicemail now, if we could.
Yeah, good afternoon, Steve. This is Syed from Chicago. I have a question about TIVA. I still have a lot of share. I haven't sold it. I know it's cut down the dividend and everything, and the stock is trading between 15 and 17. what do you think about the long-term future of this company if I still keep it for another 5 years long-term? Do you think, is it worth, or at this point, will you buy the stock again? Just let me know, because the fundamental is there, and I like to keep it and see if it can come back again. Do you think it will come back to that range, what it was trading 7-8 months ago? Thank you for your show. I love to hear it every day. Thank you. Bye.
Long-term, Teva, you know, it would be, remember, it's the world's largest generic drug company, symbol TEVA, Teva Pharmaceuticals. And it has sales of $5 to $6 billion a quarter. So it's quite large. And it took a hit. Remember, it had no CEO, and then they got a CEO. And one of the things that they announced recently was they're going to cut their dividend by 75%. Cutting that dividend 75% tanked the stock from 30 down to, 20 in a day. And today it's selling at 1568. Okay, they've been down the last couple of days. The earnings are going to be $4.28 next year, and then $3.87 the year after that. That's what they're saying. But sales are growing. Last 4 or 5 quarters, sales are growing 13, 15, 17, and 33%. So sales are growing. The problem they had is don't fall in love with that yield, because that yield is looking backwards, and based on the low price, it looks like it's really high at 6%. But they've announced they're cutting their dividend by 75%. So when they don't count on the dividend, but you're asking me long term, will this stock hold up? Will it recover? And my answer is probably it will. Probably it will, but it's got debt problems that they're trying to work through. The dividend holders, the ones that are holding it for the dividend, no longer around, because they've sold it all. That when they announced they cut it by 75%, people left. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. Love to hear from you. Give me a call. What happened in the market today? I told you it was a Dow. There was a broader market upswing, a Dow up 114, NASDAQ up 51, and the S&P up 14. What's interesting is the stocks up on volume, there were 66, and the stocks down on volume were 94. And that's been the story. There's been very few days in the last month where there's been more stocks up on volume than down on volume. It's always been the ones down on volume. And this tells you that it's not a broad market rally. It is not. It's gotten a little bit broader than it was, but it still has not been a very broad market rally. I'm not sure why. I'm not getting it as why it's that way, but it is. 888-99-CHART. Love to hear from you. Give me a call. This is Invest Talk.
Hey guys, love your show. Mark from San Diego. Looking at one of my stocks, CenturyLink Incorporated. The symbol is CTL. That's C as in Charlie, T as in Tom, L as in law. I have a small position in it. I was looking to hold it for long term, and it took a tumble on some bad news recently, so I'm thinking of adding to it or just sitting tight and collecting the dividend. So your thoughts on this would be great. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Okay, CTL is CenturyLink. CenturyLink Inc. It is out of, Louisiana. Provides local exchange, long distance network access, and broadband services to rural communities in 37 states. So it's a telephone provider. They're going to make $2, or they made $2.46 in 2016, down from $2.71 the year before. This year they're going to only make $1.94. That's 20% less. And next year, $1.86. So the earnings have gone down. Of course, the stock has fallen because of that. And it fell all the way down to about 18, $25 to $18.50. It's now at $20.02. So it's starting to come back. It just popped up above its 50-day moving average. So it probably has put in a bottom in this area. It pays a pretty high dividend. I'm not sure they can maintain that dividend of 10.8%. That's a lot of dividend. PE is 10, and that's near the lower range, 8 to 29. Return on equity is only 10%, which is a little bit light. But, you know, it's got a great cash flow of $8.03 a share. I think this is probably a good place to pick this stock up. Okay, I really do. I think if you're going to buy the stock, this is where you buy it. CTL, everybody. CenturyLink, CTL. $20.02, as I said. Okay, when do you switch from your Roth to your 401k? Now, if you, when I say when do you switch putting money into the Roth into putting it to a 401k? Now, that question should immediately bring into your mind taxes. In a Roth, you're putting money into that after-tax money. In other words, you're already taxed on the money. In a 401k, you don't have to pay any taxes on it. So the question is, do I contribute in my 401k or my IRA, my regular IRA, so I can deduct that from my adjusted gross income so that I won't have to pay taxes on that money? Versus a Roth, where I put money in the Roth after tax dollars, but the good thing about that is I never have to pay taxes on the growth of that Roth. In a 401k, in a regular IRA, when you start taking out in retirement, that is added to your income, and you've got to pay taxes on all of it in there, the original investment plus all the growth. So it's really a tax question. A tax question. When is it the best time? Should I try to reduce my taxes? And I tell people, Roths, to me, feel like a better investment when you're younger. And you have a lot of time to grow, because all that growth you never have to pay taxes on again, ever. So I do like Roth, but I also like regular IRAs and regular 401ks too, because in retirement you can withdraw from these retirement accounts any way you want to, and you can always know that when you withdraw from your regular IRA or 401k, that's tax dollars, which will be taxed, and the Roth won't be, so that you can withdraw from both, trying to keep yourself in the lowest tax bracket for the year. And that's really the key. It's all about taxes, and therefore you're going to have to maybe get some accounting help, some from an accountant. But, you know, there's times when you want to reduce your tax bite as much as possible. When you're in a high tax bracket, you need to put money aside as much as you can. When you're in a low tax bracket, it probably is, you know, better to put in a Roth. But you don't know, I can't say this is the rule of thumb and do it this way, because it also depends on you and your financial situation. This is Invest Talk, everybody. I'm Steve Peasley. Questions? Maybe you change jobs. Want to know more about rolling over your 401k into an IRA? We can talk about that. Reach me now on Invest Talk. Bobby and Gold are next. Then maybe you. 888-99-CHART. Love to talk to you. Give me a call. Hello, Bobby from Atlanta.
Hey, Steve. How you doing?
Good. Thanks for the call.
I'm looking for some income, and what do you think of Two Harbors, TWO?
And you're looking for income?
Yeah, like dividend income.
Okay. Let's take a look at TWO. It's a REIT, Real Estate Investment Trust, okay, and invests in finances, manages residential mortgage-backed securities and related investments. So it's a financial REIT. Okay, all about real estate, but only on, they don't own real estate. It's all about the mortgages and securities that deal with real estate. It's a very volatile, Bobby. So when I say volatile, sales grew 153% this most recent quarter. Quarter before that, it didn't grow at all. Quarter before that, it was up 64%. Quarter before that, it was up 499%. Quarter before that, it was down 80%. Very volatile. So you probably cannot rely, Bobby, on that dividend of 2.2%. It's a $10.20 stock. It's going to make a dollar. Okay, so it has to pay 90% of that dollar out in the form of a dividend. So that's 90 cents on $10, which is what?
9%. Yeah.
So it can't pay 10. So that's what I mean. So, and if the earnings are, you know, pretty erratic, it only can maintain about 90% of the earnings. The earnings are more steady than the sales. The dollar is going to make a dollar next year. It made $1.07 this year. It made 94 cents last year, 89 cents the year before, 94 cents the year before that. You see how around a dollar is what it pays. So it will pay you that dividend. It will pay you that income, and you pretty much can rely on it. But just remember, it could be erratic. In a recession, it's going to cut that dividend way down because earnings will crash. Okay? In a recession.
Okay. And if the Feds increase the rates, this could come down, right?
Yes. But okay. It looks pretty solid for a company. It's a $3.5 billion. It's pretty solid. Okay?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Thanks, Bobby. Right. TWO is a symbol, everybody. Two Harbors Rivers, Two Harbors Investment. And let's go to Goal in Fremont. How you doing, Goal?
Hi, Goal. Hi, Steve. I'm doing fine. How about you?
I'm good. Thank you for the call.
I have a small position in Mallinckrodt, Mary Nancy Kite. And I wanted to take your opinion if it's a value trap. It's been going down for a while. I've had it for about a year.
Uh-huh.
So I just want you to take a look and give me an opinion.
Okay. It's very difficult, Goal, to say, oh, that's a value trap during the time it's trapping you. You can only look back and say, yeah, it trapped me. During the time, it's more difficult. This is a UK, United Kingdom-based developer of branded pharmaceuticals to treat a wide variety of health conditions. It's a $3.4 billion company. It makes money. Sales have kind of flattened in the last couple of quarters. A year ago, they were growing 15-20%. Now they're shrinking 1-5%. So they kind of flattened on you. Earnings, $7.68 were made last year per share. This year, $7.41, down about 20%, 20 cents, which is about 4%. And then it bounced up to next year, it's going to be up 10% to $8.05. So it's a $35 stock making $8 a share, and there's no way in anybody's mind that that's not cheap. That's cheap. That's very cheap. So why is the stock not doing well? Probably because the sales growth is shrinking, and that's a problem. And let's see, I can't, off the top of my head, I can't see, it's selling below book value, which is pretty unusual, below book value. And they have some debt, but nothing that they can't handle. They have $9.19 in cash flow. It does not look like a value trap to me. And I like that insiders have been buying quite a bit in the last 3 to 6 months. They're buying as it's going down. So they wouldn't put their money at risk if they thought this was not going to work. They would not. So I think you hold on to it.
Okay, great. I will hold on.
Okay, good luck, Gold. Call me if it works. I want to try to keep this one in my mind because I think this is really an inexpensive stock to own. I do. Appreciate the call. Thank you, Gold. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. So, well, we can do one more email before the break. Let's get back to our 24-hour listener line and pick up another question. 888-99-CHART is the end of time number.
Yes, I was hoping you would look at GILD, and I was wondering, is it a buy, hold, or sell? Just give me your opinion. Thank you.
Okay, that's Gilead. We've talked about Gilead. At one point, it was extremely popular. Every day, it seemed like I was getting a call on Gilead because it was so inexpensive at the time. Now, it finally bounced up. It was selling for $64. in the June, July area. And then it now at $83. So it fell all for a year, all the way down to that low. And so there was a good value at that point. And it's still a pretty good value. The PE is only 8, but you have to look forward. Last year, it made $11.57 a share. This year, it's going to make $8.75. So it's an $83 stock. So that's telling you the PE is closer to 10. But that's still pretty darn low. The worry is they got to turn around sales. Sales have been shrinking for numerous quarters in a row. And that is a worry that I would look into. You're listening to Invest Talk, 888-99-CHART.
Our podcast continues next. First, a couple of words for KPP Financial. KPP is an independent financial advisor. So what does that mean to you? Well, it means that they don't receive commissions for the sale of investment products, which means they have no conflicts of interest. KPP offers a straightforward approach, personal one-to-one relationships, real-life solutions that just make good sense. When you're ready to find out more about the variety of investing programs from KPP, just go to investtalk.com and click on the Investment tab. KPP Financial. Independent thinking. Shared success. Now let's get back to the podcast. And now let's get back to Invest Talk. Answers to life's important money questions. Our direct line, 888-99-CHART.
Hi, Steve and Justin. This is Jim from Indiana. Listen to this podcast pretty much every day. Quick question about 529 plans. My wife and I were discussing 529 plan. I'm in Indiana. I know the 10% rule, if it doesn't get used for college, that the federal tax will take 10%. But in Indiana, they give us actually a 20% tax credit for whatever we put in. So for every $100 I put in, I'm supposed to get a $20 tax credit. So my question is, I'm trying to parse together my understanding of what the disadvantage of doing this would be at all, because even if my son does not go to college, it seems like I'm still ahead by doing this. Also, was wondering about distributions. My wife had said she knew people in college that didn't get their distributions the way that they had expected, and it was all metered out periodically. So I don't know if you can get that distribution all at once to say maybe pay for the whole first year, but there's not enough in the account to pay for all 4 years that you'd get financial aid or whatever. After that, would love to hear your answer. Not sure how that works. Thanks a bunch. We'll talk to you later.
Well, I do know that, you know, you won't get college loans if you need them until you use up the 529 plan. So that money has to be used in most states. And each state has its own rules and regulations. When you set up a 529, everybody, that is a college savings plan for accredited colleges only. And each state sponsors their own 529 program if they want to. And the state can set up the rules within the federal mandate, okay? The state can set up its own rules. And some of those rules are pretty restrictive. Some are not, depending on the state. So you can't make flat statements about all 529 programs other than what I'm giving you. A 529 program has to be spent on accredited colleges only. Can't spend it on non-accredited colleges. If you set up a 529 program for your child and he decides not to go to college, you can transfer the beneficiary to another child, or you can transfer the beneficiary to your spouse, anybody, a cousin, a niece, a grandchild. Okay, so you can transfer the beneficiary if your children don't go to college. So, and again, you have to go to the state to figure out the rules. For instance, you pointed out your state is giving you a bigger tax credit than a lot of other states don't. So it depends on the 529 program in your state. So you got to look up those rules And hopefully you could probably maybe talk to an accountant that knows about it, and he might be able to help you. Okay? 529. The other thing that you can do for college or higher education is called a Coverdell. A 529 program, you can put up to quite a bit of money, $15,000, $16,000. I don't know what the limit is these days. And a Coverdell, that's per year, by the way, put away. It's not tax deductible, by the way. It's not. And a Coverdell is $2,000. That's not tax deductible either. The difference is a Coverdell, you can use that money for any educational purposes, not just accredited college. And I mentioned truck driving school or beauty school or carpentry school, you know, any of those things. Okay? Thank you for the question. I appreciate that. Did you see that Walmart announced that they partnered with Google for voice shopping? A voice shopping device? Now, what's this? What's this about? Well, everybody's heard about Amazon's Alexa, right? You heard it on the TV. This is a response to Amazon. Everybody seems to think Amazon's going to have, you know, the shopping space to itself. It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. You know, like when Amazon bought Whole Foods, everybody thought, okay, there's a whole food business going to be changed now. No, I'm not convinced yet that, and I've told you before, whether that's going to work for Amazon or not. But Walmart and companies like Walmart, Target, any big retailer, Costco, any big retailer, it's going to not just sit around and watch Amazon eat into their business. That's not going to happen. So Walmart has partnered with Google for a voice shopping device, just like Amazon's Alexa. Competition, if you ever notice, competition always comes to those who are dominant. Those who are dominant in a space, competition will come. And Amazon's going to be competed with. And same thing is true with Tesla. Tesla dominates the high-end electric cars with their Tesla car. Well, they're not going to be alone for very much longer. And now that Tesla's trying to get into, you know, the everyday car, you don't think Toyota and Ford and those companies, GM, do you think they're just going to sit around and go, oh, well, I guess we can't compete? No, doesn't happen. So I thought this was an interesting development in the shopping wars, I guess we'll call it. And that, just to point out, that Amazon is going to be, it's going to have stiff competition because Walmart is big. It has enough horsepower to do that. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. Maximizing your credit score. This is Invest Talk Personal. Maximizing your credit score. Achieving the best score you can by following a few simple rules could save you thousands of dollars next time you want to finance a major purchase. Now, here's some example. A 30-year mortgage, $250,000 mortgage. 30-year. $250,000. If your FICO score is 620 to 639, which is not very good, your interest rate today could be about 5.6%. If you scored 760, your interest rate today would be about 4%. These rates are just recent. You know, they're not that old. Your monthly payment would be about $300 cheaper. And the total interest over the life of the loan would be higher with a higher score. We'd save you about $80,000 just because you got a better score. Now, how do they roughly figure out what a FICO score formula is? Where does that come from? Well, 35% of the score comes from history, payment history. Okay, amount that you owed is about 30%, the amounts you owe on your credit. A big part of the category is the ratio of your credit card balances to your credit card limits. Okay, and the ratio of your loan balances to the original principal. They want to see you paying it on, paying it off, paying it down. Length of credit history is about 15%. New credit accounts, about 10%. And this includes, you know, open credit accounts as well as hard inquiries, asking for new loans causes your credit score to go down. And also the credit mix. This score comes from the variety of credit accounts you have. For example, if you have a mortgage, auto loan, student loan, and credit card, then that mix could boost your score more than having just one or two of those, assuming you pay them off diligently. So therefore, my score would be lower because I don't borrow money and I don't use, you know, I don't have loans outstanding. So my score is going to be going down. So don't open up unnecessary accounts. Okay, and pay diligently on your credit cards and your loans, and your score will go up. That's InvestTalk Personal, everybody. Do you have a question about any of this? Check in now, 888-99-CHART.
You've got a professional advisor at your fingertips for this hour. Why not take advantage? Get your question to Steve right now. He'd love to shed some light on your options and help you learn how to make the best possible money decisions. Join us now at 888-99-CHART or click on Contact Steve anytime on InvestTalk.com.
Hi, Steve and Justin. Love the show. I just wanted to call and ask a question. Pondering two stocks going forward, say for the next 10 years, I'm wondering if you guys would prefer, if you had to pick one or the other, Berkshire Hathaway B stock or Apple going forward, and if whichever you pick, why would that be? Hey, thanks a lot. Bye.
Well, that's easy. I don't have to look them up, but it'd be Berkshire. Because of the restrictions you mentioned, you said for the next 10 years, would you rather have Berkshire or Apple? Berkshire is not one stock. Berkshire Hathaway is like a mini mutual fund. It owns a bunch of companies inside it. Okay, Apple is just one stock. And not only is Apple just one stock, it's a tech stock. Tech stocks historically are very volatile over long periods of time. And many of the tech stocks go out of business. Many of them. Big ones, too. Do you remember Wayne Computers? You know how big Wayne Computers was? Or even a company is still in business, but is no longer, you don't hear about it. Motorola. You know how big Motorola was at one time? These were tech stocks of their day. How about Xerox? How about Minolta? Well, that's a camera company, because that's not tech. But there are a lot of huge, big companies. So you're taking a lot more risk if you're buying Apple. Even though I own Apple in my managed account, I do like Apple, don't get me wrong. I like it a lot, and I think it's an underpriced. But Berkshire Hathaway would be a lot better for the 10-year period. A lot more from a risk-adjusted position and maybe even return. I think it might even have a better return. Then, of course, next 10 years, is Warren Buffett going to be alive over those years? Yes, he runs Berkshire Hathaway. Don't know. I want to thank you for the call. I appreciate it. I wanted to talk about self-driving vehicles again. I've talked about them often. And I recently purchased a car. And, you know, not a high-end car, but not a low-end car, but, you know, middle to middle-high kind of end car. And I have noticed that this is the beginning of self-driving cars. Because the car, it's an Audi, everybody. An A6. And what it has is, it has the ability to assist me in driving. And what it does is it keeps you from drifting from one lane to another without putting on a signal. It doesn't keep you from it. You still can drift. But as you start the drift over a lane or into a lane, the steering wheel shimmers and shakes. And it tends to push you back where you're in. Also, it automatically brakes. If the car cuts me off and slams on the brakes, the car automatically brakes. So what you're seeing is the beginning of self-driving cars. So what I think we're not that far away. It's probably going to come initially by trucks, interstate truck drivers, interstate truck driving from point A terminal to point B terminal across the state, across the country. I could see that first. Of course, it's going to be rules and laws and regulations that are going to have to be overcome, but I think that's just inevitable. I think self-driving vehicles will be a lot safer than people driving vehicles. You won't have a self-driving vehicle get a DUI, for instance. That'll never happen, right? So it is coming, everybody. I'm kind of looking forward to it. I know a lot of my age group and people are not looking forward to it. They're worried about it. I'm actually thinking, you know what? I think the cars will be safer. And as I get older, my reflexes get slower. I think it'd be a great idea. Because I was just planning on, when I get older and shouldn't be driving, using Uber or the other Lyft. And that's what's going to be my way to get around. Now, I can keep my own car and just tell it where to go. I like it. Embrace the new, everybody. And I want you to know, this is part of creative destruction. A new technology destroying some old technologies. Pretty much like electric cars and gasoline cars. So you just got to, as an investor, you got to figure out where to go, where to invest. How are you going to take advantage of it? How are you going to take advantage of self-driving cars? Well, obviously they're going to be driven by computer chips. We know that, right? There's going to have to be something that drives the vehicle. There's going to be some kind of mechanical devices that turn the steering wheel and puts on signals and do all those things you do when you're driving. So there's going to be some kind of mechanical devices that someone's going to make. Just keep an eye out to see where that's going to come from. I think that would be a good field at some point. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. You can call me anytime you want. The market has had another good day. The market says there's some people thinking about a market that's melting up, saying that the market's just going to go up, surprise, all on its own for no reason, just because. Okay? Well, that might be so. But every day that market rallies, every day it rallies, it's getting higher and higher overvalued. It's getting, and I can't tell you how extreme, it could be another year or two before it's getting to the extreme. But it's not healthy that we haven't had a good correction yet this year, not one. No, that's not healthy. Stock markets, and I wrote today in market commentary, that there's been 26 times that the VIX has been under 10 this year. And it has never been, in all its existence before this year, all of its years have been around, there's never been 26 times total, but 26 times this year. Low volatility, extreme low volatility. You're listening to Invest Talk. Yesterday, we talked about parents who were counting on savings and 529 plans to pay for college. Are there other options for parents? How about, do you know what they are? I'm open for any money topic. You can reach me right now at 888-99-CHART.
Hi, this is Dan. I'm a podcast listener in Roanoke, Virginia, and a longtime listener. Just had a question about dividends. The brokerage I use for trading and investing, it does not allow reinvestment of dividends. So I was thinking about trying to invest in dividends using my 401k. There's a dividend fund. It's the BlackRock Equity Dividend Fund. With mutual funds, are dividends reinvested? I just didn't know how that works. Also, I know you've talked before about seeing the fund manager and their track record when you get into a fund. How do you actually find out the track record of the person managing the fund? Thanks a lot. Bye.
Okay, Morningstar.com has all that information on funds, and it will tell you how long the fund manager has managed the fund, and then you look at the performance over the length of time he managed it. That's where you get that information. And reinvesting dividends into mutual fund, you don't have to, or you can. You know, it depends on your brokerage. As you pointed out, the brokerage can make that decision. And you can request it or not request it, but it depends on the brokerage firm to how that works. So if they'll reinvest the dividends into the same fund. And the fund probably has rules on it as well. You just have to ask. You have to ask the question. There's no one answer to that. Appreciate the call, though. Appreciate it. Thank you for the call. Okay, high interest rates are not in our future. Not. Now, high meaning, according to the Federal Reserve President who talked about this, John Williams, means anything above 4%. That's what his definition of high. He also said in the same little speech that we have a new normal GDP growth of 1.5%. Remember, our long-term GDP is over 3%. But he's saying the new normal is going to be 1.5%. And he said the reason, this is the reasons he's citing, we have a drop in the working age population. He's talking about more of us baby boomers getting older and dropping out of the workforce. And since we're dropping out of the workforce, we're not adding as much to GDP. We're not adding very much at all. And so he says, because of that, that's going to slow down GDP growth. And that's one of the reasons. And the other reason, he says, we have weak productivity, which I have mentioned on the show numerous times that we do have. We've had weak productivity for some time. Productivity goes directly to, of course, GDP growth, but also your standard of living. The more productive we are, the better our standard of living. Now, I'm going to disagree with him on this, even though maybe he's a lot smarter than I am, but I'm thinking that, yeah, they're true about the baby boomers, but I don't know about productivity. I think it can rebound fairly quickly. Why do I say that? Well, because corporations have not been reinvesting into their company very much since this last recession. They have not reinvested into new technologies and better and faster equipment and computers and software and systems. They have not reinvested much. And then when they start doing that, that may just pick up productivity and that may just pick up GDP growth. So also, I think the older generation, my generation, they don't have enough money. They got to continue to work. Now, they might not be in the most productive industries because they can't get a job in those, but they're still going to have to continue to work. So I don't think the drag is going to be that much. And I think achieving a 3% GDP growth is well within reason. With the proper rules and regulations coming out of Washington, and part of that is less rules and regulations coming out of there, tax cut, the things they promise could boost GDP up about 3%. Of course, what if they don't achieve what they promise? Which is always true or going to come true. For instance, they said they were going to have a big tax cut for the middle class. Okay, for us in the middle class, not going to happen. They can't. We have to pay for the tax. We have to pay for everything. It's got to come out of our pocket somehow. Time's up for the hour, everybody. I'm financial advisor Steve Peasley, president of KPP Financial, a registered investment advisor firm, and I'm glad you could be with me today. On behalf of Justin Klein and everybody at the KPP family, I want to thank you for listening, and let's do it again tomorrow. A reminder, personalized retirement portfolio reviews are available without charge no matter where you live in the United States. Just go to InvestTalk.com, click on the InvestTalk tab, and then portfolio review.
Because of the nature of the interactive dialogue inherent in the format of this program, it's important for listeners to understand that not all comments made will apply to them specifically. Nothing said shall be taken to be investment advice, or shall statements on this program be considered an offer to buy or sell securities. Such advice is rendered solely on an individual basis, and at times will require that the investor review a prospectus before investing. Steve Peasley and Justin Klein are principals of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, a registered investment advisor. For more information regarding KPP's investment advisors, call 1-800-557-5461. InvestTalk is a copyrighted program of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, which retains all rights.